guys, thanks for coming today. You know, that was actually my weekly What's Up. Every week I do a little devotional video. 95% of the time it's just a devotional thought around the scripture. But this was a big deal. I mean, Fall Festival is our biggest outreach event. And so we want to spend a little bit of time talking about why we do that. And when you, in your bulletin, there's one of our little invite cards. And then when you leave, you're going to get more of the invite cards. And guys, invite your friends, invite your neighbors, your coworkers, whatever. Because as I said, I believe God's going to use this as one of the touches to help people come into a relationship with him. Guys, we're finding out more and more that it takes multiple touches by Christians and God before people trust in Christ as their Savior. So help us be a part of that. All right, so let's start by acknowledging something. We all have trust issues, right? We all have trust issues. Can I get an amen? Amen. Some of us have trust issues, and they're related to things, hurts, painful actions of the past. And some of our trust issues are related to control issues, and we're really control freaks. But we all have trust issues. So one day last year, I was going through some rough times, some personal stuff with really challenging situations, and we had our Men of Excellence. It's our monthly thing. We do it on Saturdays. The guys get together. Somebody brings a teaching thought, and we pray together. We have bagels and coffee. It's really one of the highlights of my month. And so we have our Mo, and we're doing it down in Fountain. And I was looking forward to it. I'm walking out of the building, and I'm going to, I walk out of the building, and there's Robin Daly. He doesn't come to church here, but he comes to Mo all the time, and he is getting in his brand new Tesla Model S car. I mean, it's got less than 100 miles. He was one of the first people in the state to get it, that car. And he had let me drive his first Tesla years ago, and man, that thing is smoking cool fast. I mean, I don't know what it is about that electric motor, but it is a freaking rocket, right? And I mean, it is going, and I'm hoping, and I say a quick little prayer to Jesus, dear Jesus, please let me drive Robin's Tesla X because you love me. And God did love me, right? And he said, hey, Stu, you want to drive the car? And I was looking forward to driving this car, not because it's a super fast car, but because it is a self-drive car. Right? You've heard about it, right? Self-drive. You know, Uber in San Francisco, they're doing self-drive cars. That's just stupid, by the way. But I'm looking forward to driving this thing, right? And so we get a little bit of instruction, and we start tooling down the road, and I'm going down Mark Shuffle Road, 45 miles an hour, with my hands like this. I mean, I'm thinking about texting just because I can, right? I mean, it is cool. I mean, smooth as glass, right? It's just going great. When all of a sudden, we come up out of cone zone. And not just a normal cone zone, a one-lane cone zone, 35 miles an hour, and 2 feet to the right of the right cone, there is a 3-foot drop-off. And I am faced with the decision. Do I trust the technology, or do I grab control of the steering wheel? What do you think I did? I trusted that technology. I did. I mean, 35 miles an hour, winding cones. I mean, it's not in the normal lane of the path. Just so smooth, just sliding through there. You know, we even came up to a temporary stoplight. I mean, one day it just stuck up on the middle of the road, and it was red, and it stopped for me. It was the coolest thing. And I get back, and I just had the time of my life, and I get in my car, and I am driving home, and the Holy Spirit whispers to me, that, my friend, was a metaphor of our relationship together. Are you going to trust me when you come to the rough patches of life? Are you going to trust me in the midst of certainty? Or are you going to grab the steering wheel tightly and take control? And I said, God, I'm sorry. It's easier for me to trust this somewhat cool technology than it is to trust the God of the universe. Guys, Psalm 91 is a psalm of trust. In fact, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles right now. Psalm 91. Everybody get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, your tablet, whatever, your phone, grab the one from the chair in front of you. Psalm 91. We're just going to stay in this psalm. We're going to look at some of the verses from this psalm. We're going to concentrate on that today. Okay, Psalm 91. Everybody get there. Now, as you're getting there, I'm going to talk about some issues that most people don't really care about except preachers. But we learn these things, and so we have to tell them to you, and hopefully one day you'll enjoy hearing them as well. Psalm 91, background material. It's an interesting psalm. It's one of the Psalms of Consolation. And one of the things that makes it unusual or unique or interesting is we don't know the background of why this psalm was written. We don't know the occasion. In fact, there's people that think there are several writers in the same chapter. We don't know who they are. But this psalm is a psalm that's all about trust. The promise of God's protection in life. Psalm 91 is a good news psalm. It's a hopeful psalm. It is an encouraging psalm. And in this psalm, it talks about the location, the testimony, and the security of staying on trust highway with God, of trusting in God. So verse 1 talks about the location. Let me pray real quick. God, you tell us that your word is living and active. It's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Your word promises to go places in our lives that only your word can go. And since all of us have trust issues, your word is going to cut to the trust issues in our lives right now today. God, so I ask that our ears are open, our hearts are soft, to allow your word to do its work in the trust issues of our life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the 3 points, all right? First one there, the location of our trust. Okay, so Psalm 91 begins with this general statement about trusting in God. And it says, Whoever dwells, are you the exception to the whoever word in Psalm 91? Do you think you fit into the whoever category? Okay, right? So whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So what we have to understand is the location of our trust is not so much in a place as it is in a person, right? The location of our trust is in the God of the universe. In fact, God gives us two incredible descriptors about the one in whom we trust. He says he is the Most High. He's described as the Most High. What does that mean? He is the one who is in the pinnacle of the universe. He is the one who is in the dimension of eternity. He has the best perspective of anyone. He sits, from where he sits, he sees beginning to end all at once. The Most High, the one who is in the portals of the dimension of eternity, he's the one in whom we trust. Pretty cool, huh? That's not it. He says, not only do we trust in the Most High, but we trust in the Almighty. The Almighty. You know, guys, we spend a lot of time and money on security, don't we? Don't we? We spend a lot of time, money, and energy trying to be secure. That's just the reality. I mean, we have insurance, we have Carbonite, we have software to protect us in cyberspace. We buy security systems for our home. We spend billions and billions of dollars on defense, right? All of this stuff we do, why? For security. And ultimately, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of those things, right? You know, get your life lock if you want to have life lock. And that's not what I'm saying, get rid of that. But ultimate security is not found in any of those things. It's found in the one who is the Almighty. The Almighty. The one with all the power, the uncaused first cause, the one who spoke the earth into existence, the one who can walk on water like you and I walk on the street, right? That is the one who holds our security. But there is an action on our part. The previous psalm is the Psalm of Moses. And Moses starts that song in Psalm 91 with this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. God is a shelter for those who trust him. Psalm 27:5 says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. See, the action that's required of us is to dwell with him. Guys, God, the Most High, the Almighty, he's a homemaker, not a hotel manager. He's not running an institution that we check in with him once a week on Sundays. He is a God who wants us to dwell with him. He has made us a dwelling place. He has prepared this place. We hang out. We live there. That is the place where we have to stay. We have a connect. we have three-part strategy at Fellowship of the Rockies. And the first part of our strategy is to connect. Why do we say that? Because we believe a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ happens best as you connect with Christ daily. It's daily you're living with God. Daily you're reaching out to him. Daily he's reaching out to you. You know, in the last few months, we've been trying to make a larger emphasis at the church about reading your Bible. Spending time every day to read your Bible, and we've been doing the cards. Our last card ended yesterday. We got our new card. It's out there at the exits and in the Welcome Center. Why? Because when we connect with God daily, when we dwell with him, when we spend time with him in his word, God does good things. I see an image here. Okay, and I'm trying to think of it as I was wrestling with this, and I came up with this image, okay? We have, God is painting for us an image here of himself as the special ops operator who drives tanks and slings bazookas at night and bakes chocolate chip, or during the day, and bakes chocolate chip cookies and wears an apron at night. He's all of that rolled into one. He's not just the warrior. He's the warrior who has created a dwelling place, a home for you. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. The location of our trust is God himself. And then he goes on and talks about the testimony of our trust. And our testimony is found right there in verse number 2. And it's really a pretty profound and dramatic shift that the scripture takes here. Okay, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, the Most High, the Almighty, right? The Lord, Most High, Almighty, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. Okay, so it's one thing to be able to talk about the Almighty. It's a completely different thing to be able to talk to the Lord Almighty. The psalmist here does something pretty profound. He begins to talk about the Most High, the Almighty, the God of the universe, as someone with whom we have a personal, intimate relationship. He's not just the Most High in the portals of heavens and the universe and the dimension of eternity. He's my God. He's my fortress. I trust in him. Guys, this really, if you'll think about it, is a mind-blowing statement. The one who possesses all has agreed himself to be a possession of us. Did you catch that? Guys, the one who possesses all has stooped down, has come to our level, and has actually agreed to be our possession. And so as I'm thinking about this, I'm trying to think, okay, what is this? How does that even work? And I came up with an image I think that works well. So this is the image. It's a couple ways to look at it. It's like I get like sort of the image of the toddler at preschool. And the toddler at preschool, you know, having a good time, you know, in daycare, chilling out, having fun, you know, eating Cheerios with the friends, doing the finger paint. I mean, I want to go back to preschool here at Fellowship of the Rockies. It's the greatest freaking experience in the world. Okay, right? And in the midst of all of that, right, at the end of the day, mom, dad show up. And what does the preschooler do? My mommy, my daddy. Oh, running into their arms, right? The other image I thought of was like the family soldier deployment reunion. Right? You know, coming back. Coming back, you know, in the uniforms, carrying the rifles, you know, off to war, safely returning. What the kids running, that's my dad, that's my mom. That's my husband, that's my wife, the one who is the warrior also becomes the possession. And not just becoming the possession, relishes being the possession. Is there anything that does a mom or a dad more good to hear their child say, my mom, my dad? That's the image that God is communicating to hear in that testimony. This is my God. This is my God. He is working for me. The question is it your testimony? Or is it simply the testimony of an unknown psalm writer sometime in the past? And what good is that? So what if this unknown psalmist says, oh, he's my refuge, he's my God, he's my fortress. So what? Is he your refuge? Is he your God? Is he your fortress? Have you been to the cross of Jesus Christ? And have you trusted in Jesus Christ? And not only become his possession, but has he become your possession? Is that your testimony, or is it just the story of an unknown psalmist? Clearly, the verses 1 and 2 is summed up in the key truth there. The Lord will protect the one who trusts in him. That is the deal. The Lord will protect the one who trusts in him. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, first of all, you know, I'm studying for a message. I said, okay, what's some examples in the Bible about God protecting someone who trusted in him? And as I thought of several, you know, I thought of, first of all, the spies in Jericho. They had been sent by God into Jericho to spy out the land. And they found out, the mighty warriors of Jericho found out there were spies. And so they were looking for them. And God protects them in the house, in the apartment of a prostitute, Rahab. And he delivers them through that experience, right? And then I thought about Daniel in the lion's den, and I thought about Peter and John in prison. And over again in the scripture, we see examples of God protecting those who trusted in him. And then I started thinking, you know, we have a Hollywood last year gave us an entire movie about a Christian who received God's protection and chose to trust in him, and God protected that individual believer in an amazing way. How many of you saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge? If you haven't seen it, don't take your kids. I mean, it's not a kid movie, it's a war movie. But gosh, God, thank you for giving us that powerful story about Desmond Doss, a private in World War II, a guy who chose to be a conscientious objector. I'm not going to fire a gun. I'm not going to kill anyone. But I'm going to serve my country. And he became a medic. And at a place called Hacksaw Ridge, after all the troops came, just retreated from the battle and escaped, and there's hundreds of wounded still lying in the field, Desmond Doss stayed in the battle all night long. As the Navy is still shelling the battlefield, he's running out there and rescuing, pulling back soldier, wounded soldier after wounded soldier. 75 men he rescued in one night. And what I so loved was at the end of the movie, they talked to the real Desmond Doss. And he talked about how God was with him. And he just said, God, give me one more. God, give me one more. God, give me one more. And all night long, he got one more, one more, one more. And then at the end, the movie said, every time somebody tried to talk to Desmond about his heroism, his valor, his courage, he said, it wasn't me, it was my God. It was my God. Guys, whatever it is that you're going through right now, you trust in God. He will protect you. He will protect you. And lastly, we see the security of our trust. In 3 through 13, the verses are explained in great detail. We don't have time to do all of them. We're going to do a few of them. Let me read something to you, because this is a very touchy thing that I'm going to address. So I tried to be intentional about my words, so I'll read it to you. A life of secure trust is a life of total security. No evil can harm the one who trusts in the Lord, unless it is permitted by the Lord. The fact that the Lord permits it is proof that he reigns over it and will sustain us during that trial for our ultimate good and his ultimate glory. Man, that's hard to get. Let me read it again. A life of secure trust is a life of total security. No evil can harm the one who trusts in the Lord unless it is permitted by the Lord. The fact that the Lord permits it is proof that he reigns over it and will sustain us during that trial for our ultimate good and his ultimate glory. Guys, the life of trust is not the life that is free from all challenge, pain, or trial. In fact, many times it's security and comfort during the pain and the trial. We have security for two reasons, okay? The first reason is this. The Almighty is watching over you. You can trust. You can stay in God's trust lane. Because you know that God, the Almighty, is watching over you. What does it mean? Okay. Well, we'll look at verse. Look at what it starts with in verse 3. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. Okay. You know what that's saying? Is that when we trust in God, when we rest in the shadow of the Almighty, we all have spidey sense. We've all been given supernatural intuition by the Holy Spirit to recognize the snares, the traps of the enemy, right? The fowler snare, what is that? That is a trap. When you're setting a trap, what do they do? They hide the trap, right? When I'm trying to get that mouse out of my garage, I put it in a dark place so it'll run in that trap and I can drop it down in the field and go in my neighbor's house instead of my house. That's what we do, right? We hide it. God says that when you trust in him, he gives you spidey sense to recognize the trap before it has sprung in your life. When you're hanging with God, cookies and milk at night, right? You're dwelling with him. You're connecting with Christ. You're praying. You're reading your scripture. You're laying there in bed praying. You know what God does? God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, begins to whisper in your ear. It says, that person who's cozying up to you at work, they're not just cozying up to you at work because they're looking for a good time. They like you. They're cozying up to you at work because they are being used by the enemy to destroy your life and your family. Run. Run. Moms, you're sitting there in the morning with your coffee and your quiet time, because that's all moms do when they stay at home. They have coffee and quiet time, right? And you're having coffee and quiet time, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts whispering in your ear. And they say, you know, that friend of your child is no friend. That friend of your child has been sent by the enemy to ruin their lives, and you get up and you spring into action, doing all that crazy ninja stuff that moms do, and you cut that child out of your friend, out of your kid's life. You know, you're hanging out there and you're doing your quiet time in bed, and you're looking at your YouVersion app, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts whispering in your ear and says, hey, you know, everybody's partying and everybody's having a good time. And they're all saying it's no big deal, and it's just something you do when you're in high school and college. And the Holy Spirit says, no. Those are actions of the enemy. If you go down that road, it's going to rob you of the good things that I have in store for you. And so you know what you do? You stay home on Friday nights. God says when we trust in him, he lets us see the snares of the snares and traps of the enemy for what they really are. I love verse 4 too. It says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So this is the image. This is the image that God is portraying for us here. It's the mother hen gathering her chicks in the midst of the rainstorm. In fact, Jesus Christ, when, remember, this is a messianic psalm. This psalm finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. I think I forgot to tell you that, didn't I? This is a messianic psalm. Smart people will say, this psalm is really ultimately all about Jesus Christ. How can I forget that? That's the most important background piece. And Jesus affirms that song, affirms that when he comes to earth, he actually taps into this very image. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus says this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. let it never be said of us that God wanted to protect us, but we wouldn't let him. Anybody just want to raise their hand and say, hey, I don't want the protection of the Lord Almighty, the Most High. But yet we live that way all the time. That's why Jesus said that. And I want to gather you in, but you'd rather stay out in the rain. Verses 5 and 6 say, this is another really cool one. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. In the face of terror, in the face of sickness, in the face of all life throws at you, you have no fear. And this is not simply an internal courage or fortitude. You literally have no fear because the Almighty is for you. But the whole point of that verse isn't really that. The whole point of that verse, did you catch the imagery? You say, it's 24/7, 365 protection. There's not a moment in the day. There's not a moment in the day that you are outside of my protection. 24/7, God is looking after you. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay. You go through death's valley. Even in death's valley, God is there with you. Rod and staff protecting you. You know, last week, Darren and I did the switcheroo, and I went down. I was preaching in Fountain, and I got in my car, and I was coming back up here because we had our gathering last week, and I had to get back, and my phone blew up because I had two neighbors, lived a block and a half apart. Two neighbors ended their years-long battle with cancer within an hour of each other. And it began this crazy week, crazy day for me. I spent the afternoon in two separate homes. Now, good news is, both of those individuals knew Christ and had trusted Christ as their Savior. One of my neighbors, I had the opportunity to lead to Christ in the hotel, in the hospital room up in Anschutz in Denver a month or so ago. The other had been a long time follower of Jesus Christ. The family is active here. But this is the difference. One of the husbands is a Christ follower, and one is not. And in the journey, I see the Christ follower horribly destroyed, right? Their life totally devastated, but yet they're comforted, they're protected by the Good Shepherd. He's walking with them. And then the other one, there is no comfort. There is no hope. But you know what? I believe with all I can believe that that individual is going to become a Christ follower. He's going to know Christ. That family is actually going to be redeemed through the death of their believing mother, their believing wife. God is going to do a redemptive work. Guys, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, death stinks. I said that to the funeral yesterday. Death stinks. But God walks with him, and death is not the end. Oh, my goodness, I got to go. All right, second reason that we're untouchable is that the angels are watching over you. Guys, God's angels are watching over you. Look at verses 9 and 10. If you say the Lord is my refuge, you make the Most High your dwelling. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will commend his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You know, people say you have a guardian angel, right? Well, some of you are easy enough for a guardian angel. I'm not. I need the army of angels, right? By the way, that guardian angel comes from this passage. That's why everybody says it. It's the promise. Guys, God knew that I was going to be doing lots of stupid things on ski slopes, jumping out of planes, swimming with sharks, catching my barbecue on fire on a highly flammable surface, my deck, right? God knew I needed an army of angels. And if that's you, good news, you too have an army of angels. God is with you. God is for you. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fears him and they deliver him. Oh, I got to stop. All right. So the Tesla deal, right? So I call Robin last week. I say, hey, Robin, can you just swing by in the Tesla? I need to sit in the car for a spiritual reason, for a message illustration. So Robin comes by, and I get in the car, and I take, right? I look like a dog with my head out the window, you know, right? I mean, look at me. I am stinking stupid excited. I'd have probably taken off of the thing, but it would have probably drove me back to Robin on it, right? I mean, I am happy. I am smiling. It has made my day because I am sitting in a stupid hunk of metal with some pretty cool technology, but it's just a stupid hunk of metal. Guys, if we're believers in Christ, we get to sit in the ultimate self-drive vehicle. We have the God of the universe, the Most High, the Almighty, that is steering our ship. We have the biggest chick in the world with the most massivest wings in the world. They're just gathering us up. We are protected. Would somebody smile, please? That's my God. It's my refuge. You know Christ. That's your God. That's your refuge. Why in the world would we ever grab control of the wheel again? Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being the Most High, the Almighty, that calls us to dwell in you, that guarantees protection, that guarantees guidance. God, thank you for driving us to trust in you, because there's no other place to be than trusting in your loving arms. You are amazing, and we boldly declare that we will trust in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.